I want to turn again, please, to the Psalm 55. We want to consider some of these verses together this morning. We thank our brother for the kind words of welcome, and also the Reverend Woods for the invitation to be with you at your morning service today. For both services, come along again tonight if you can. We'd encourage your presence. As you come tonight, don't come on your own. Stephen Olford was a very famous evangelist. He used to say to the people, as he thought of the gospel meetings, come but not alone. And I'd like you to take that upon your heart for the service tonight. Think of someone that you could invite, someone you could encourage along to hear the gospel. Maybe there's been upon your heart. Take the opportunity just to encourage them to come along to the service with you. That is a great ministry in itself that is often neglected in the days in which we live, going out and bringing others in. So I want to encourage you to think of that for the service tonight. We'll bring a word in the gospel, minister and song in the gospel service tonight as well. Yesterday down in Armagh is what they call Georgian Day. It's an annual event that's run by the council. It attracts large crowds of people right through the day. They end the day with lighting up the Christmas tree and so on, putting on the Christmas lights. So the city was packed with people yesterday from morning right through to late in the evening. We have an outreach team in the church down in Armagh, formed a few years ago. One of our committee men, our brother Billy McCrum, leads that outreach team for us. He also writes some of the material that they give out. So they had prepared a special little card yesterday based on the life of John Newton, giving a little bit of his testimony that Billy had written, thinking of Georgian Day and Newton being from the Georgian period of history. So they gave out a lot of those. The outreach team was out on the streets. They close off the city centre and there's stalls right up the middle of most of the city centre streets. So it is a great opportunity for them to go out. So do remember all of that work and the seed that was sown. We had a phone call quite late last night from a brother, not from one of our churches, but he had received some of that literature and was very impressed with it and was keen to get some of it to give out to others in a little consignment that they're preparing to send to the Philippines. He would like to include some of it in it as well. So do keep in mind that wee bit of outreach. We certainly would appreciate your prayers very much for it. We'll seek the Lord together as we come to his word this morning. Father, we ask thee to give us ears to hear those things that the Spirit would say unto us today. We want to pray that you'll guide us through the message. We ask you to come and put your hand upon the remainder of the meeting. Come and settle our hearts. Take away from our thoughts, Father, all of those things that would distract us. And we're praying for a word today from your mouth. We're asking, Father, for a word in season. You're the one that knows the hearts of all men. You know the needs of all, the burdens, the circumstances, those with heavy burdens, those with painful circumstances and situations. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll come and minister. Come and minister powerfully by your Spirit to every heart. So we ask now, Father, that the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight. We want to pray, Father, for the wider congregation today as well, those that have been mentioned that have experienced bereavement in recent days. We think of the McClemens family and the Elliots too. And you've assured us, Father, that even when we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, we're to fear no evil, for thou art with us. And Lord, our prayer for those that mourn today is that they will be very conscious of the presence of the Saviour, the one who is the God of all comfort and the God of all grace. So, Father, answer these our cries, and we plead that we will rejoice today over your word as those that find great spoil. We offer these our prayers to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. The 22nd verse, please, of this 55th Psalm is our text this morning. The psalmist says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Want us to think of the subject this morning of the burdens of the believer. And the fact is, brethren and sisters, if I could remind you today, this world is a world of burden bearing. Those burdens can be many. Those burdens can be heavy. And the burdens that we carry, even as a child of God, even as a believer, those burdens come from all aspects of life. They come from the home and the family, difficulties that we face. They come from the workplace. They come from our business. Sometimes the burdens we carry come from sickness and infirmity and ill health. And even as we've heard in the announcements this morning, sometimes the burdens that people carry come from bereavement and the emptiness in the home, the emptiness in the family, the loss that has been sustained. There are times that the burdens come from broken relationships that have taken place and how painful those experiences can be. And even the burdens come from the work of God. Remember that Paul, speaking about his responsibilities, talked about the care of all the churches. So there's the burden, the responsibility, the weight of care that comes with oversight even of the work of God. So burdens come from all aspects of life. Maybe the burden that you have today can be identified in one of those categories just that I have mentioned already. Can I say to you, as you think of this psalm, that David had a burden? And brethren and sisters, that ought to encourage us today. Sometimes we imagine the Lord's servants that we read of in the scriptures, that they didn't experience the circumstances, the difficulties, the challenges that we have to face in life, that they lived on a different plane. But I want to assure you this morning that David had a burden. That burden came from the fact that his son, Absalom, had rebelled against him, and his friend and advisor, Ahithophel, had betrayed him. We can say of David, he had been wounded in the house of his friends. That's the context. That's the background to this psalm that is before us this morning. David had a burden. Can I remind you, brethren and sisters, of what we are sometimes tempted to do when we have burdens to carry? Sometimes we try to carry the burden ourselves, and we don't have the strength to do that. Sometimes we feel like quitting and giving up. Remember Peter, he said, "I go a-fishing," was turning away from the things of God, going back to the old secular employment again. Sometimes we feel like complaining. Maybe you have complained and moaned about things in recent days. Who can complain? Who can murmur like the people of God? Sometimes the burden gets so heavy we feel like running away. That's how the psalmist felt. If you think of verse 6 of the psalm, he said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Sometimes the weight is so heavy we want to die. Remember, like Elijah under the juniper tree, wished for himself that he might die. There's times we even get to the place where we want to wish evil upon those that we think are responsible for our troubles and our difficulties. If you think of the psalmist there in verse 15, "Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell." And I'm sure at some time in your experience, you've been tempted to do one, maybe more, maybe all of the things that I have just outlined as you think of the burdens that you have to carry. Can I stress, brethren and sisters, that is what not to do. That is what not to do when you have a burden to carry in this world. Today, what I want us to think about is what you should do, what you should do as a Christian. In fact, what you're commanded to do in the scriptures with the burdens that we have to bear. If you have a heavy burden this morning, and maybe it's a burden that nobody else in this church knows anything about, maybe it's one that you've been crushed down under the weight of it, it's so heavy, so severe. I want you to see that this text of Scripture, Psalm 55, verse 22, mark the reference. This psalm gives, or this verse gives, the answer. This verse tells you what to do with that burden. This text of Scripture tells you how to cope with it, tells you how to deal with all of the burdens of life. So let's think of it together. First of all, as you think of that heavy burden, this psalm teaches us that you're to consider that burden as from the Lord. Now just consider that and ponder it. You're to consider the burden as from the Lord. The text says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. The word burden there, it literally means gift. If you have a Bible with a margin, gives the alternative reading, you'll see that for yourself. So it's cast thy gift, or literally that which he has given thee. Isn't that interesting, brethren and sisters? In fact, you might think it quite strange to consider it in that way. I wonder, did you ever see that great truth before? See that trial that you're passing through? That disappointment that you had to experience? That loss that you have sustained? That difficulty that you're encountering? The challenges that are crossing your path? I want you to understand today, it's from the Lord. His hand is in it. He is the one that has allowed it. He's the one that has permitted it. It's not fate, not bad luck. It's not a curse. Remember that God has infinite wisdom, far beyond our finite little minds to comprehend. And in his great infinite wisdom, it is something that he has bestowed upon your heart and upon your life. And the reality is, brethren and sisters, that is a truth that should change the situation completely. In fact, if we had that outlook on life, it would change the way that we look at everything in life, at life as a whole. Now, automatically, I know that you will ask the question this morning, why? If the Lord has allowed it, if the Lord has permitted it, why would that be? Why would the Lord allow this burden? Why would the Lord permit these trying circumstances? Can I say to you, brethren and sisters, something very important to remember? We don't have all the answers. Sometimes we like to give the impression that we do. But the reality is we don't. We don't have all the answers to life's difficulties and life's problems. And remember, the Lord doesn't always tell us the reason why he allows certain things to happen to us in this life. You know, there's a better question than the question why. And that's the question what. What is it, Lord, you want me to see? What is it, Lord, that you want me to learn? There are lessons to learn in all the circumstances of life. So, Lord, what is the lesson you want me to learn at this time? So I want you to understand today, brethren and sisters, we don't have all the answers. The Scriptures tell us that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. You have secrets. You don't share with very many. Maybe don't share with anybody. Well, the Lord's the same. He hasn't revealed everything to us. He has only revealed to us in his word the things that are necessary for us to know for our pilgrimage here on earth. Remember that Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly. The vision that we have, the sight that we have of things in this world, they're not as clear as they're going to be one day when we're with the Lord, when we stand before him in his immediate presence. Do you remember the Savior said too, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Isn't that an interesting statement? Mr. McRae used to sing a piece, we'll talk it over in the by and by. I'll ask the reason, and the Lord will tell me why. So what he does, we know not now, but we shall know hereafter. The old Puritans summed it up well. They said, we can't always trace the Lord. Remember, you sat down a bit of tracing paper and you took your pencil and followed the line or followed the image. We can't always follow. We can't always trace the Lord. But one thing's absolutely sure, brethren and sisters, is we can always trust him in what he's doing. We sang the words earlier. I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. So I want you to settle that in your mind today. We don't have all the answers. I can suggest to you this morning some reasons why the Lord might give you a burden. For one thing, it's maybe to do with your walk. Maybe you're not walking as close to the Lord as you should. We sing the words, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." In the Bible, Christians are pictured as sheep. Every farmer in the meeting this morning will know sheep are prone to wander away. So maybe you're not walking as close to the Lord as you should, and the Lord wants to bring you back closer, into closer fellowship with himself. And that burden that you're experiencing, well, that has caused you to talk to the Lord and to cast yourself upon the Lord in a way in recent days that you haven't done maybe for quite some time. You think of what David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." So what was the result of David's affliction? It brought him back. Brought him back to the Lord. Brought him back to the place where he was walking again with the Lord. And perhaps you're going astray. And that's the reason. That's the reason why the Lord has given you that burden. It's to do with your walk. Mr. Spurgeon said that anything that causes you to pray more is a blessing and not a burden. I know the Lord would give us that outlook, brethren and sisters. Another reason why the Lord might give you a burden is to do with your worth. As many of you know, I had a younger brother that was disabled from birth, died when he was 17 years of age. Someone once told my mother, I think it might have been Professor Norman Nevin, that made this statement to her, that the Lord only gives disabled children to special people. That's a very interesting statement. You might like to debate it. It's a mute point. But I can tell you this for sure, brethren and sisters. The Lord only gives burdens to special people. You see that burden that you're carrying today? One of the things that burden indicates is this. It indicates your worth, your value to the Lord, how precious you are in the sight. Do you remember what I showed you earlier? The burden is a gift. It's good to see that. You need to view it like that. And the Lord is like us. The Lord only gives gifts to special people. Christmas is coming up. You'll be thinking of the gifts that you're going to give, just like at birthday times. You just give gifts to those that are special to you. And the Lord is the same. You think of Job. Why did the Lord allow the devil to afflict Job in such an extreme way? Well, it's because Job was special. It's because the Lord could trust him in those circumstances. Do you remember what the New Testament teaches? It's whom the Lord loveth that he chasteneth. So all that's happening in your life, the burden, the trial, the chastening hand of God, it's an indication of the greatness of his love for you. So these are some suggested reasons, brethren and sisters, why the Lord might give you a burden. But remember this. Remember that great statement of Paul in Romans 8. All things. It's good to see that, to grasp it. It's an easy thing to sing when all is going well. I know whate'er befall me, that Jesus doeth all things well. But when you're going through the fire, when you're weighed down under a heavy burden, it takes a lot of grace, a lot of faith to be able to say that. But it is the reality, brethren and sisters. All things. Not some things. Not just the good things. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So whatever the Lord's reason, whatever his purpose, whatever's in his thinking and in his mind, whatever in his wisdom the Lord is allowing and the Lord is doing in your life, it's for this reason. He's doing it for your good. For your spiritual good. Your spiritual development. Do you remember as well what Paul said to the Corinthians? Our light affliction. Think of how heavy the burden is. He says it's light. How could it be light, Paul? Well, you have to compare it with the end of the verse, the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You have to look at the burden in the light of eternity. It's a light affliction. And he says that it worketh for us. It's not against us. Sometimes we feel like Jacob. All these things are against me. But that's not the case, brethren and sisters. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, seems like an eternity for you. Remember again it in the light of eternity. And remember it's working for you. The Lord is working in your life. He's molding you, shaping you. It's that great work of sanctification, conforming you to the image of his dear Son. So what's the first thing the psalm teaches us we should do with the burdens of life? We should consider them as from the Lord, something that has come from his hand. The second thing I want you to see is we're to cast that burden upon the Lord. You think of the words of the psalm. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. As a child in the farm, we had a lot of burdens to carry. Some of you can identify with that. The buckets, the barrels, the milk cans, the bags, the bales. A lot of burdens to carry. As a child, we were expected to be out there when all the work was to be done. And sometimes the burdens were too heavy for me. Sometimes I was beat. Sometimes I needed someone else to come and carry the burden for me. More often than not, that person was my dad, my father, very strong man that he was. And there's a lesson there for his brethren and sisters. And the lesson is this: we can't, but he can. We can't carry the burdens ourselves, but our heavenly Father can. Remember, he's the Almighty. Think of the first use of the word Almighty in the scriptures, when the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. Be thou perfect and walk before me. So just get a picture of that in your mind this morning. He's the Almighty, the one to whom all power belongs. He's the Lord God omnipotent. The idea of that word omnipotent is there's no limits, absolutely no limits to the power of our God. And the message of the psalmist is this: you need to take your burden to the Lord, to the one that is the Almighty. And that's what I want to encourage you to do this morning, because remember, he is the great burden bearer. And that unlimited power, he has the strength to bear all of those burdens. He upholds all things. Is that what the scriptures teach us? He's upholding this vast universe. And what is my burden in comparison with the weight of this universe? Upholding all things by the word of his power. Think of that little invitation, Matthew 11:28. Take it to heart this morning. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Does that describe you today? You're heavy laden, you're weighed down with all the responsibilities, all the cares of life. Remember, that's a promise. That's an invitation for the saint as well as the sinner. The Lord says to you today, come unto me. Don't try to carry that burden yourself. You need to bring the burden to the Lord. So, believer, come to the Lord today. Come to the Lord at the throne of grace. Come to the Lord with your burden. Mr. Moody, in the notes in his Bible, he said that the word cast here in the psalm, it literally means to roll your burden onto the Lord. Isn't that what you sometimes do with something that's too heavy to lift, something that's too heavy to carry? You roll it to where you want it to go. Whenever we were on the farm, we had to gather stones when the fields were being ploughed. Not a very pleasant task. Sometimes the stones were too heavy to carry. They were too heavy to carry to the place where we wanted them to go, so we would roll them. Roll them maybe into the link box or into the digger bucket, or if my father wasn't watching, maybe roll it over into the shuck if that was a wee bit closer. But you would roll it where you'd wanted to go. And brethren and sisters, that's what the Lord wants you to do. Roll your burden onto the Lord. If it's too heavy for you to carry, then roll it, cast your burden upon the Lord. How do you do that? You do it by prayer. You need to pray about all of life's burdens. You know, that's the reason. It's a simple fact, but it's the reality. That's the reason why some Christians are always burdened. Ever meet a Christian like that? Always burdened down. Do you know the reason for it? They never pray about their burdens, their difficulties, about all the cares of life. They just carry them about with them everywhere they go. They don't come to the prayer meeting and cast their burden upon the Lord, or cast their cares upon the Lord. We sang Scriven's hymn at the beginning of the meeting. Are you weak and heavy laden? Those words describe you today. Are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care. Jesus knows our every weakness. And what are you to do? You're to take it to the Lord in prayer. So consider the burden is from the Lord. And then cast the burden upon the Lord. And there's one other thing I'll mention to you from the text. And that teaches us just a little further. Takes us on to a different level as far as dealing with life's burdens. And that is you're to carry the burden with the Lord. Because the text says, He will sustain thee. Isn't that interesting, brethren and sisters? An interesting little statement. I want you to understand this morning. I'd like you to grasp. The Lord doesn't say that He'll always take the burden away. Remember that Paul learned that. He had a burden, thorn in the flesh. Very interesting subject that is. I'll resist the temptation just to diverge off into that this morning. But I just want to simply state the fact that Paul learned through that experience. The Lord doesn't always take the burdens away. The scripture says he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord about it thrice. And his prayer was that it would depart from him. He wanted the healing touch of God. He wanted the Lord to take this painful experience away from him. But the Lord said, no, Paul. Not going to take it away. You're going to have to live with it. You're going to have to learn how to live with it. You're going to have to bear it. But you'll do it with my grace. Because my strength is made perfect in weakness. And my grace is sufficient for thee. So I want you to understand, brethren and sisters. So think of this subject of the burdens of life. He doesn't always take the burdens away. That's what we want. That's what we expect. That's what we long for. That's like Paul, what we plead for at the throne of grace, at the place of prayer. But we learn here there are times that we still have to carry the burden. And can I say to you this morning that that's maybe what the Lord wants you to do? Maybe that's what he wants you to see today. That's the lesson that he wants you to learn. If it is, I want to encourage you that there's no need to be afraid. And there's no need to despair. Because you don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to do it in your own strength. You've tried that already and failed. Notice carefully what the text says. It says, He will sustain thee. And that, brethren and sisters, is what makes all the difference. You need to get your eyes off yourself today. Get your eyes off your situation. And get your eyes upon the Lord. Because He's the one that will give you the strength and the power that is needed to carry on through all of the circumstances that you're encountering at this very time. Remember the great promise of Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. Think of the weight of the burden. You're almost ready to fall and stumble. He says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. As you come to the Lord's house today, looking out on the week ahead, looking out on the future, and maybe you're asking, how can I go on? How can I face the future? How can I handle the circumstances? How can I deal with the problems? Well, here's the answer, brethren and sisters. You can do it in the Lord's strength. Because He's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. He's going to uphold you with the right hand of His righteousness. I always thought that that text, Isaiah 41:10, it describes all that we need in a time of trouble. He's going to strengthen us, and He's going to help us, and He's going to uphold us. You think of the blessing, the blessings of the tribes, given twice in the scriptures, once by Jacob, once by Moses. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, speaking about the tribe of Asher, said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. What an encouragement that is. The meaning of that text is this. God will give you the strength that is needed to match the type of days that you're passing through. He'll give you the strength that you need to bear the cross that you have to carry here in this life. So understand that, brethren and sisters. He will give you the strength that you need. And even to lift that on to a higher level, The Lord may even carry you as well. And what a truth that is. Mr. Moorhouse, Henry Moorhouse, was an English evangelist, friend, contemporary of Mr. Moody's. Henry Moorhouse had a little girl that was disabled. You called her Minnie. One day he came into the house. Mr. Moorhouse had bought a gift for his wife. He had it nicely wrapped up. He came into the house with this package. And he asked Minnie, where's your mum? She says, Mummy's upstairs. He says, I'm just going to take this package upstairs to Mummy. And Minnie said, Daddy, she got very excited about the package. Let me carry the package. So he looked down at her in amazement. He said, Minnie, you can't carry yourself. How are you going to carry this package? Of course, the little girl had it all worked out. She said, Daddy, I'll carry the package, and then you can carry me. Isn't that lovely? And brethren and sisters, that's what happens sometimes in the Christian life. There's times we have to carry the burden. That's the Lord's will. That's what he wants us to do. But he doesn't leave us alone to do it. He comes along and he carries us. He lifts us up and carries us in his arms. You remember what the Lord said to Isaiah the prophet? Even to your old age, I am he. And even to whore's hairs, H-O-A-R, whore's hairs, will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. So what a promise that is. Even to old age, right to the very end of our days, right to the very end of our lives. You know the story of the footprints of faith. The person at the end of their life looking back across the sands of their life, and they saw in the most difficult times that there was only one set of footprints, and they mistakenly thought that at the most difficult times of life the Lord had left them and forsaken them. And then the Lord reminded them, no, you're looking at that all wrong. In those very difficult times in life, I lifted you and I carried you. So I want to remind you of that great truth today, brethren and sisters. The Lord carries his people through the severest periods of trial in their experience in this life. And he'll carry you too. So be encouraged by that knowledge this morning. Carry the burden with the Lord. So I want to finish just with this thought. We've been thinking about the Christian, how to cope, how to deal with the burdens of life. You consider it as from the Lord. You cast it on the Lord. You carry the burden with the Lord. But I want to emphasize, just in closing, the heaviest burden that any person can carry is the burden of sin and the burden of guilt. And perhaps that's your burden today in this meeting. There's some here still out of Christ, still unsaved. You're still carrying that great burden of sin. Do you remember Pilgrim? In Pilgrim's Progress, he had the burden, that burden on his back that represented the burden of his guilt, the greatness of his sin, and he lost it. And where did he lose the burden? Well, he lost it at the cross. And I want to urge you today to get to the cross. Whoever you are in the gathering today, you get to the cross, and by faith, you cast the burden of your sin upon the Lord and be saved. Think of Mr. Moore's great hymn. We'll sing a verse or two of it in a moment. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, and Jesus is very near. That's the only place, men and women, where the burden of your sin can be dealt with. So think of the encouraging words then of this text. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I pray the Lord will write his word on every heart and make it a blessing, a great blessing to you today. So we'll